I was thinking earlier that the next time my father-in-law, my lovely wife Michelle's dad, comes on the show during his portion where he's making his recasts, we should call that a special segment called Dick Picks.
Nice. I like it. Everyone loves Dick Picks.
Yeah, not Dick's Picks, not to be confused with Dick's Picks, which has a very Grateful Dead, Deadhead insinuation.
I get you.
Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is the man in the Travis mask, and I will be your host today. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Cashanova Variations.
Ooh.
Cashanova Variations.
Bit of a stretch.
AKA the Brew Boss. It's just the two of us here in the shop today. We were supposed to be joined by somebody in our third seat. Hillary couldn't make it, but her name was going to be The Hillary's Guide to the Galaxy.
I like it.
And so further description of the show is in order. You heard the English robot lady at the top say that tagline where it goes watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies. Sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors. Sometimes they're not. And then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts, AKA contemporary actors. And just once again, quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture. No. Are we, Sean?
No, we are not.
We are not. This is supposed to be kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of a work of satire. As I've seen you say on Twitter recently, we try to be funny. Sometimes it works.
Sometimes right? We succeed.
Yes. So at this point, we want to go ahead and move it into our movie news segment. This is where we try to, in the week between episodes, we try to rake together some news stories, some appropriate stories here for the show that take place in the world of cinema. One thing that I forgot to mention last week was that the great film director Bernardo Bertolucci passed away. He passed away on the 26th of November, so a couple of weeks ago. And great, great director. Probably his most memorable film for me is The Last Emperor.
Okay.
The movie about the last emperor of China. My lovely wife, Michelle, and I drink. We went to China a couple of years ago, and we got to tour the Forbidden Palace. And that movie was actually filmed on location in the Forbidden Palace.
Well, it's funny you should mention that movie because I'm going to bring that up later on in the episode.
Okay. And also, he was the director of a movie that we have talked about here on the show with Marlon Brando called The Last Tango in Paris. He was the director of that as well.
What's with him and movies titled The Last So-and-So?
Yeah, that is weird. Okay, and then next up, we've got your story about...
Yeah, we always make fun of Tyler Perry. Right. He's an easy target, but we got to give credit where credit's due. He paid off $434,000 in layaways at Metro Atlanta Walmarts.
That's incredible.
So this is where people had put things on layaway for Christmas for their kids. And a lot of times those things don't get paid off. And Tyler Perry went through and paid off $434,000 worth of merchandise.
That is incredible. Now, was he in character as Medea?
Yeah, he walked in and said, Hitler, Hitler.
I heard y'all got some Lurwer.
Get your Lurwers.
And, okay, so the next thing I wanted to mention, I heard a boo from you earlier when I brought this up. The character Ron Burgundy from Anchorman, portrayed by Will Ferrell, is getting his own podcast. Sounds like a publicity stunt.
It sounds like a publicity stunt, but also I say boo just because, you know, poor guys like us are trying to make a go at podcasting.
Yeah.
And he's going to come in.
He's going to undercut us.
He's going to come in with zero podcasting background, and he's going to get a bazillion followers. And, you know, that's fine, I guess. But
you think we need another fucking podcaster?
There's a podcast bubble.
Yeah. And then the biggest story that we wanted to mention today
so excited about this.
go ahead, roll with it.
Well, it was announced this week that Criterion, the Criterion Collection, are launching their own streaming service in spring of 2019.
Now, is it a service or a channel?
It's a streaming channel, a streaming subscription service. There was another that met its demise this year that they were loosely affiliated with.
And what was that?
The name escapes me, but it was a curated film streaming service. And so they came up with news this week that they're going to launch it. And anybody who wants to jump in on the ground level as quote unquote founders get about a $10 per year discount.
Oh.
I think the going rate's going to be like $100 a year.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. And then so $89 if you're on the ground level, which I've already signed up.
Nice.
I'm so excited for this.
Very cool. And for the listeners out there, of course, you know, the Criterion Collection is probably the definitive anthology of the greatest movies of all time. And so that will go ahead and bring us to the end of our movie news segment. And with that, we will go into the Department of Corrections Department, where we will hear from Chief Corrections Officer Dana. She's probably going to be sending us a collect call right about now.
You have received a collect call from the Cinema Chop Shot Department of Corrections Department. To accept the charges, please press 1.
Hiya, Chop Shoppers. I had no idea that Neil Young and Daryl Hannah were dating, much less hitched. Is he singing this now? I'm an old man. Look at my wife. I think she got some fillers. I guess she's a cinnamon girl now. Anyway, Daniel Baldwin was in Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. The Queen was so close, but Claire Foy is on the crown. Rick Rossovich was also John Tag Taglieri on ER. He was engaged to Carol Hathaway at one point. At least that was one role where he was pretty, but smart. I didn't see anything significant on IMDb that he's doing now, but maybe he'll have a cameo in the Top Gun sequel. That's all for this week. Talk to you, Hannah, next time.
All right, Dana. So I was going back and forth. I couldn't decide whether or not I was hoping you would catch that crown versus queen thing, or whether or not it would have slipped past you. But nonetheless, I'm glad that you did catch that. I caught it on my own doing research for this coming episode. So please take that into consideration when bringing me out of solitary.
If I'm not mistaken, Chief Corrections Officer Dana has sung for us 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, well, nobody knows the trouble she's seen. All right, so that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department for this week. And it's time for us to get into the theme of the episode. The nicknames at the top were a little bit of a clue. The man in the Travis mask is a reference to the man in the iron mask. And then Casanova variations is, of course, the Casanova variations. And we're talking about the films of John Malkovich. One of our greatest living actors, I would say. I don't think that that's overblown. What do you think?
I don't think that's overblown at all. His body of work is broad.
Over 70 films.
His talents are varied. Comedic.
Yes.
Serious.
Sometimes self-deprecating.
Sometimes in foreign language. He speaks many.
Yes. And we're doing this episode in honor and in celebration of his upcoming 65th birthday.
He's only 65.
Only 65. John Malkovich is turning 65 on December 9th.
Wow.
December 9th. So we're going to get into the films of John Malkovich tonight. He's from Illinois, and he went to public school. And then after at least attending college, I didn't see anything about graduation, but at least attending college, he was the co-founder of the Steppenwolf Theater Group, along with Gary Sinise and Joan Allen.
Oh, wow.
Some heavy hitters right there. And then worked in theater and then eventually kind of got his foothold in feature films, and the rest is history. What else do we want to say about the man?
I've always liked him. I remember my first exposure to him was when there was the casting buzz of the original Batman movie.
Oh.
And there were a lot
rumors.
There were a lot of publications that were trying to figure out who would be good for the Joker role.
Yeah.
And his name came up, and I didn't know who this guy was.
Yeah.
But at the time, his looks and his demeanor actually really would have worked well.
So thinking back, the first movies that I remember actually realizing who he was while I was watching it, two of them. One is In the Line of Fire, Clint Eastwood assassination type of thing. And then also Jennifer 8 with your favorite Andy Garcia. So now we're going to get into one of our favorite segments. It's called the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where we go back and forth on the panel today. And we talk about two films that are within the theme of the episode. And we talk about why they should be shown hypothetically or maybe in real life. Chop Shoppers, if you want to enact these double features, let us know about that. In a public forum, why they should be shown back to back in a public forum. And so, Sean, would you like to go first with your double feature tonight?
Sure, I can.
All right.
My first, and you mentioned when John Malkovich got on your radar as an actor.
Yeah.
For me, it was 1988's Dangerous Liaisons.
Very good.
He played Valmont and in a historic drama of a scheming widow and her manipulative ex-lover.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a bet regarding the corruption of a recently married woman. Stars Glenn Close, John Malkovich, Michelle Pfeiffer.
A very young Michelle Pfeiffer.
Very young Uma Thurman.
Yes, very young Uma Thurman.
And
so I wonder, Dangerous Liaisons, what was the year on that?
88.
So pre-Jennifer 8.
Yes.
Also, my lovely wife, Michelle. Drink. On my way in here, she texted me, "Hope you have a great podcast." Then space... Dangerous Liaisons! Exclamation point. So I think that's probably one of her favorites.
Well, good. I'm glad that we knocked that one out really quickly, and right off the bat. I'm going to follow that up with another period drama where John Malkovich plays an equally
sinister.
Not sinister. He's a scoundrel.
Okay.
In both of these films, The Portrait of a Lady.
Portrait of a Lady. Is this a Merchant in Ivory?
It's 1996. It is Nicole Kidman, John Malkovich, and Barbara Hershey.
I like the cast.
An American girl inherits a fortune. She falls into a misguided relationship with a gentleman con artist whose true nature, including a barbed and covetous disposition, turns her life into a nightmare.
Hmm. Where does the portraiture come in?
it's all about, he's an art dealer. There's a lot of painting and art going on. It also stars Mary Louise Parker from Weeds.
Oh, I like her.
As well as Shelley Winters and a very young Viggo Mortensen.
Huh.
So there are a lot of names and a lot of faces you'll recognize in this movie. It is true to form in terms of a period piece. You might call it tedious.
Okay.
It's got that kind of a feel to it. But it is what it is. That's just the nature of the period, the nature of the story. But I paired those two together just because John Malkovich kind of fell into a typecast on both of those as the scoundrel.
I like it. All right. So mine are of a different sort. They are related to each other in a certain way. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you the names of them and what they are and then talk about how they're related to each other. So the first one, the earlier film, is from 1996. It was directed by Stephen Frears. It only has a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. Stephen Frears has been a very prolific director. He did Philomena. He did Dangerous Liaisons. He did Victoria and Abdul, Florence Foster Jenkins, and also High Fidelity.
Oh,
yeah. So, which I will bring up again later today. But this movie was not one of his best. Like I said, it's only got a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. 1996, it's called Mary Riley. There, there's a lot wrong with this movie.
I remember when this came out, and
from Julia Roberts' accent to, well, I should say it is a adaptation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Okay.
In which Malkovich plays both roles, because as the story goes, they are the same person. But beyond just Julia Roberts' accent being terrible, also the idea, the very notion that people wouldn't realize that it was the same man just because as Hyde, his hair is long and he doesn't have a mustache. And when he's Jekyll, his hair is short and he does have a mustache. It was really weird and kind of slow. That being said, it fits in very well with my other movie from 2000 called Shadow of a Vampire.
Yes. Excuse me,
Shadow of the Vampire.
Yes.
It was directed by E. Elias Merige, Merhige. And the only thing I really recognized from him was a movie from 1990 called Begotten. But this movie is kind of a meta story.
It's meta before meta was meta.
Movie within a movie.
Yeah.
And it tells the story of famed German director F.W. Murnau, who's played by John Malkovich, and he recruits this actor named Max Schreck. And Max Schreck is amazingly portrayed by Willem Dafoe. But this movie posits the idea that Max Schreck was an actual vampire. And that Murnau and Schreck entered into some sort of Faustian pact for this movie. So you've got these two basically horror films. They're both starring John Malkovich, but the tie that binds here, the common thread, is that Malkovich's character in both movies is somebody who is harboring a monster.
Yes.
All right. He's protecting the identity of a monster
in order to
meet his end, the ends that he feels the means justify.
I like it. That's a good pairing. And I owned Shadow of the Vampire on DVD. And
nice.
That's a good one.
So I watched both of these movies in preparation for this show for the first time. And I can tell you, Shadow of the Vampire is a far superior movie. But it would be fun to show them back to back as a double feature.
Cool.
All right, so that will go ahead and wrap us up for the midnight double feature for tonight. It's actually midnight here in the room, so don't think that we're trying to pull one over on you. But now we're going to get into our feature segment, which is called The Recast. This is a segment where we take a older movie within the theme of the episode, and we hypothetically recast the major roles in the film with contemporary actors. And the first movie that we're going to talk about tonight is called Empire of the Sun from 1987. It was directed by Steven Spielberg. It's got a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is the story of this kid named Jim. He's a British kid who is living a very silver spoon life in Shanghai, as they would say there, during the outset of World War II, amidst the Japanese invasion of China. And he very quickly, right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, goes from that very privileged life to being a prisoner of war in a concentration camp, basically, a Japanese prisoner of war camp. Great movie. Stars Christian Bale in the main role as Jim. Then we also have John Malkovich as Basie, and also Joe Pantoliano.
Joey Pants.
And there are some Americans who are also in Shanghai at the time of the Japanese invasion. And even though they may have ulterior motives, at least at first, they kind of take him under their wing and protect him at a time when he's most vulnerable. So I should say that Christian Bale was only 13 at the time in this movie. It's a very, very early performance from him, really put him on the map, and you know, his career speaks for itself. What else do we say? Do you have anything to say about the movie?
I have a couple of things to say. One, did you notice that Ben Stiller was one of the POWs?
Of course. I've seen this movie like 30 times.
Okay. Young Ben Stiller. His ears look huge.
Yeah, his head had not grown into his ears yet.
Yeah, right, totally. excuse me, but I did want to add that this was my first viewing of this movie.
Oh, nice.
And in my brain, I had confused Empire of the Sun and The Last Emperor.
That is not a uncommon mistake. I used to do that when I was a kid also.
This was also...
I conflated those films.
The screenplay was written by Tom Stoppard. And my lovely wife, Allison, would be glad to comment on Tom Stoppard. He's written lots of plays and things.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that I know that name just for my affiliation with my lovely wife, Allison.
Very nice. And so upon first viewing of the film, what did you think?
I thought it was typical of Steven Spielberg's self-indulgence.
Also his affinity for all things World War II.
It was a half an hour too long.
Okay.
I think that he was really jerking himself off with his directing. I just thought that there were some things that could have been cut and needed to be cut just to get the story moving. But other than that, I enjoyed it.
All right. So we should probably go ahead and get into recasting this thing. And I'll go first because this is my confession part. It's not really a confession. It's more of like a disclaimer. Whenever I cast this person, I swear to God, it was just on face value. But then I realized something else. Okay. So as Christian Bale, his character, Jim, he was 13 at the time. The actor that I'm going with is in a movie called Mrs. Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children.
Okay.
Also, he's in a movie called The Big Short.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well, Christian Bale's also in The Big Short. But then I went and looked at it, and this actor plays the younger version of Christian Bale's The Big Short. The character's name is Michael Burry, and the actor's name is Aiden Flowers.
Oh, cool.
And I seriously just cast him because he looked like a young Christian Bale. And apparently I'm not the only one who thinks that.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Aiden Flowers is my guy who's going to be...
Watch out, casting director for The Big Short.
Yeah.
Travis is coming
for you.
Well, cool. I like that. I'm casting someone who is American.
Well, this guy's American also.
But he'll have to do some... But the reason I picked him, he plays a role in the movie Eighth Grade.
Oh, Eighth Grade is good.
As Gabe. He's the nerdy guy who had the crush on her. And at the end of the film, they have their little date.
Yes.
At the table. And his name is Jake Ryan, and he's fantastic.
Nice.
And he is very active on Twitter, and he gets a shout out from me on Twitter after we finish this episode because he's fantastic. I see nothing but bright things for this guy.
Very cool. Show me his picture. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see it. Good stuff. So it's fine that he's American because in this film, Jim becomes obsessed with American culture.
Right.
Because of the American POWs that he hangs out with, including Basie and Frank. All right. So speaking of Basie, it's the man of the hour. John Malkovich plays Basie, and he is kind of an unscrupulous character. He's an American expat. Seems to be military, but might be AWOL. Like, it's really hard to nail down, like, what exactly he's doing in Shanghai.
His character reminds me, if this was like a post-apocalyptic movie, he would be a junker.
Okay,
Like, he'd be those guys that, like, digs up scraps and sells them off to people. You know, that's really the vibe I got from his...
Big time. So like we said, his character takes Jim under his wing. Initially, he's going to try and sell his teeth. He's going to try and sell Jim's teeth, but they end up kind of looking after each other in one way or another. And so I'll go ahead and go first again, and then next film we'll go the other way
That's
around.
That's fine.
My Basie is somebody who I feel like was born to play a recasting of John Malkovich. You would recognize him from a movie called Herbie Fully Loaded. He's also in a movie called Nonstop. And then he has a small part in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. I'm going with Scoot McNairy.
Oh,
Scoot McNairy is like a young John Malkovich.
I like that.
I definitely have chopped him before, so I'm a little out of bounds there, but yeah. I had to do it.
Actors got to work. We got to recast these guys.
Yeah, so he's going to be my Basie in this movie, and I think he's going to do a great job.
Awesome.
Also, by the way, Scoot McNairy is 41 now, whereas John Malkovich was only 34 at the time.
Gotcha. My pick is right on target with age. He's 34. You will know him from his role in the movie Hush.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He played the man.
There's only two or three people.
He played the man.
Yeah, there's only two or three people in that movie.
You'll also know him from 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yep.
We were just talking about him last week. He was in one of our films that we were discussing.
Was he?
Uh-huh. He was in The Newsroom as Jim Harper. I'm talking about John Gallagher Jr.
Oh, he's so good. Yeah. He was super scary in Hush.
Oh, yeah.
And then a lot more sympathetic in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Which is, yeah, I kind of picked him because he's got some good range in this role. He is kind of, he starts out hard, edged, and then he gets warm and gooey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's awesome. All right. So the next role, originally portrayed by Joey Pants, Joey Pantalones, por pantalón. It means nice pants. And, his character was named Frank, and he's kind of the sidekick to Basie. He probably has a little bit more of a moral compass, but he still will pretty much go along with anything that Basie says. So I feel like these two actors need to work together, Scoot McNairy and this actor, who I've also chopped before, but you know, I didn't research it. I don't know if they've ever appeared in a film together before, but I'm going with Walton Goggins.
Oh, good.
Walton Goggins is going to be my Joey
I like
Pants.
That. That's a good one.
Do you know of anything that they've ever been in together?
No, but
Scoot and Walton?
No.
They could play like Frank and Jesse James. I think that would be good.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Neat.
Sorry, real quick. I meant to say the weird roles that Walton Goggins has been in. You might know him from The Next Karate Kid, The Crow Salvation,
oh, God.
And Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, geez.
Is it Cowboys versus Aliens?
Holy cow. Okay.
Holy Cowboys versus Aliens.
All right, so my pick, I'm going to do the same thing you did. I'm going to pick some of his lesser known roles.
Yeah.
He was in the TV series Once Upon a Time, surprisingly enough.
Is that the whole title?
No, Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
Surprisingly enough, he was in this. He was in the film The Bronze.
Oh, wait. I saw this,
well,
yes.
Shut up. And he was in Ricky and the Flash, which I talked about in a...
with Meryl Streep.
Yeah. He was in I'm Not Here. But
is that with the Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah. But a lot of people know him from the Avengers crap. I've chopped him before. Sebastian Stan.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of favors him a little bit.
He does,
know?
Yeah. He's got one of those unique faces.
He does.
Yeah. Along with Scoot McNairy.
Well, let's
and
not forget, he played
Walton
Jeff Galooly
Goggins.
In I, Tonya.
That's true. Yes, he did. I'm pretty sure that he was my recast of Luke Skywalker in our Star Wars episode. All right. That is pretty good stuff. Once again, listeners, Chop Choppers, if you have not seen Empire of the Sun, despite what Sean said so disparagingly about the film, it is a great movie. If you've got a solid 2.5 hours to put into a World War II drama and see a very young glimmer in his eye, Christian Bale.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, before he was so jaded and yelling at
people.
Well,
he was pretty much shouting at people on the set on this, too.
On this movie, too.
Oh, yeah. He just let the catering people have it.
That's awesome. All right. So anything else we need to say about this film?
No, I think this is a good one.
All right. So what we should say is,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some Malkovich, 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 Malkovich.
All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host, Travis, just chiming in here at intermission to remind you about our online presence. We are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We post things about upcoming episodes, as well as the Chop Shopper Challenge, where you, the listeners, can pick some roles to recast yourselves. We're also on Twitter. We do some similar things on there. The Chop Shopper Challenge check-ins. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. If you ever want to comment on the show, that would be a good place to do it, as well as our email address. We are cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And we take suggestions for future episodes and any sort of commentary on the show. If you have corrections, if you notice some things that I say that might not necessarily be true, please let us know about that, because we do, the Department of Corrections Department. Once again, thank you, the listeners, for bearing with us during the intermission, and thank you for listening to the show. Remember, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, or like us on whatever platform it is that you listen to your podcasts. And also, please remember to watch, chop, retrofit. And we're back. All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. We both went and peed in the yard because we're men. And when we come back from intermission, we like to do a beer check-in.
I drank beer with my friends. Sometimes I had too many beers. I liked beer. I still like beer. Had beers, have some beers. One beer, drink beer, drinks beer, drank beer and drinking beer.
So we've got a couple of different ones to try today. I think the first one we're going to go for is the IPA. It's from Omnipollo, the Ever Chicken.
Yep.
And the beer is called Zodiac Multiverse, which, as you were saying, kind of has a
Being John Malkovich kind of thing.
Kind of a Charlie Kaufman-esque kind of ring to it. Are these our glasses here today?
Sure, you can use those.
All right.
Nice.
All right, and it is a Imperial IPA.
Oh, Lord.
All right, well, while we're enjoying this, we want to go ahead and continue along with the show. Our next segment is the 2018 Movie Marathon, and it is the 341st day of the year. Sean, what number are you on?
423.
423? What did you watch for 420?
420. Let's see. Can I give you that one? I can. 420. It was the 2018 release, Halloween.
Not bad. Not bad. All right. I am on 375. So I covered some ground in the past week since our most recent episode. Immediate reaction on that beer?
Not as offensive as
some of the others I've brought.
The carbonation is very light on it.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not terrible.
I don't mind it.
All right. So movie marathon wise, I said I'm on 375, and the first one that I'm going to talk about tonight is going to be number 374. It's called The Long Dumb Road. The Long Dumb Road. And I was, my lovely wife, Michelle, and I were out drinking and eating tacos. Well, we drank the tacos and then we ate some tequila. And so we were looking to see what kind of movies were available for streaming when we got home. And there was a bunch of scary movies, and she doesn't like scary movies. But I saw this one that is like a comedy. It's a road comedy. And guess who's in it?
Jason Mantzoukas!
Jason Mantzoukas is in it, fuckers.
What's up, jerks?
And so here's my review. An odd couple road trip movie that really gives Jason Mantzoukas a chance to spread his wings. Tony Revolori skillfully plays the straight man to his wild card. So it's about this kid who has just graduated high school. He's on his way to Los Angeles to go to film school, and his van breaks down, and he happens across Jason Mantzoukas, who is an out-of-work mechanic slash, like I said, wild card. I'll let the listeners glean the rest of their opinion from the movie. It's pretty funny. I said it gives Jason Mantzoukas a chance to spread his wings. I never thought I would say this, but it might just be too much. Oh. His wings might have spread a little bit too
wide. Is he a condor?
It's almost overwhelming.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and talk about Halloween. I know you've checked it in before, but this movie kind of got panned in my from what I heard. Like,
It made a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, and it should.
With a franchise like that, you're always going to have detractors.
Yeah. I kind of liked it.
I liked it as well. I actually haven't talked about it on the show.
Okay. I liked Judy Greer as Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was an excellent, excellent casting choice.
But she's great.
I loved the family dysfunction. Jamie Lee Curtis's part reminded me of Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Oh, yeah.
Like post-traumatic
where she was
survival style. Bunker.
I'm loaded for bear. I'm going to create this bunker. And you guys are... And fuck all of you people if you're not on board, because trust me, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. And she was right.
And she was right. I thought it was well done. The psychiatrist in the film really had that Donald Pleasance kind of vibe to him. Obviously it wasn't the same character, but it was nice to have that homage.
Yes. Well, he was supposed to be the Donald Pleasance character was Dr. Loomis was supposed to have been his mentor.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It had the thrills and kills that you expect.
Yes.
One of the actresses in it, she is in the TV series Marvel Runaways,
mm-hmm.
and I immediately spotted her. She was the babysitter of the young African-American kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I made a mental note of her because I'm going to use her to recast sometime.
Yeah, I noticed her as well. I
wonder why we noticed her.
I was really hoping that she would live. Spoiler. So let me tell you what I said about this, because I checked this in on Twitter, but not here on the show. I said, admittedly, a pretty worn-out franchise. However, David Gordon Green's direct sequel to the 1978 original does a good job of scrubbing away the last 40 years of missteps.
Yeah, I agree.
And I really liked how they stylistically went for that same feel.
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, that opening credit sequence where they've got the pumpkin.
Yeah.
In the original, it was just a long shot on the jack-o'-lantern. In this one,
it
starts out as a rotten jack-o'-lantern.
And then it reconstitutes
and they do it in
itself.
Reverse time lapse, and it becomes the full jack-o'-lantern. That's fucking brilliant.
I thought that was a nice touch, too.
David Gordon Green, of course, a longtime collaborator with Danny McBride. They did the two TV shows, Vice Principals and Eastbound and Down, together. I think that it was a big risk that they took doing this artistically and financially. And I think that it definitely paid off.
Nice.
All right, so... I'm next.
Yeah.
Okay. My next one is called Hearts Beat Loud. Hearts Beat Loud. I finally got around to watching this. It was so good.
Isn't it the sweetest movie?
Yeah, it's great. Hearts Beat Loud. Mine sure did. And then I said a spiritual sequel to High Fidelity.
Oh, nice.
?
Okay.
Because I can see it. You know, you got the record shop setting. Yeah. You've got the hipster owner, in this case, an aging hipster played by
Nick Offerman,
yeah. Who is a single father to his going off to college daughter. She's going off to medical school, and they discover that they have a lot of musical chemistry together. Really, really great movie.
I loved it. I'm glad you liked it too. I'm going to go with A Star Is Born.
Oh, yeah. Another musical.
I'm going to say sorry, but I don't buy Gaga and Cooper as a couple.
Okay.
And I found the pacing to be laboriously slow.
Oh.
The themes were a little bit on the nose, and we don't need to hover on each one for so long. So
interesting.
Those are my
now,
notes.
Did you watch it with your lovely wife, Allie?
Did not. I was...
See, that's where you fucked up.
Well, I watched it with my director, Bradley Cooper, and I say, let's stick to acting, Bradley.
He got nominated for a Golden Globe today.
Don't give a shit.
Multiples.
Don't give a shit. It wasn't my cup of tea.
And so it was a little bit weird how he was definitely affecting a Sam Elliott voice. And then Sam Elliott is also his older brother. And then there's the line, well, why did you steal my voice?
I just found it a little silly. And if you're a Gaga fan, then you'll love this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of hers. I just felt it was just too much Gaga being Lady Gaga.
Gaga. So it's also, as we've talked about before, the third iteration
of this movie. Yeah, it's been remade to hell and
back.
So
we're not in favor of that anyway.
Yeah. Fuck you.
All right. The last one that I'm going to talk about today, it's Christmas time, you guys. We're in the month of December. The Yule log is rapidly approaching. I heard it's going to hit Professor Turner in the face. And the movie I'm going to talk about is called The Christmas Chronicles. It's a Netflix film. It's a Christmas movie, but guess who plays Santa Claus? Kurt Russell. Kurt fucking Russell. And of course, he has to get a little bit of Elvis in there. There's a really funny scene where he's in jail and like out of nowhere, all of the inmates are now in his band and they do like, it's great. And so my review was, Kurt Russell makes a great Santa. He plays it like a retired Captain Ron.
I was about to say Captain Ron all the way.
The elves were cute, but also a little bit frightening because they're like, somewhere between Mogwai and Gremlins.
Yeesh.
Yeah. All right, so that's my third.
Kooky. My latest and third check-in will be number 423, A Simple Favor.
Okay.
Starring Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick. I'm not a Blake Lively fan at all. Like, Green Lantern was terrible.
So you wouldn't say that you're a very lively fan of Blake's?
Exactly. But I really like this one. Have you ever seen Death Trap?
No.
With Michael Caine and Christopher Reeve.
Michael Caine.
I think Diane Cannon might be the third one in that.
It's pronounced Keaton.
No. Anyway, it's a contrived whodunit murder, not murder kind of movie.
Okay.
And A Simple Favor is the exact same thing with a social media spin.
It's not the... you kill my wife, I kill your wife, they'll never catch us scheme, is it?
Not quite, no.
Okay.
But there are a lot of weird circumstances at the beginning of the film, and then a lot of who's really playing whom in this type scenario. It also stars Henry Golding, who I think is having the best year ever. He was the male lead in Crazy Rich Asians.
Ah, okay.
And nice. It's a different role for him. He plays it just as charming.
Mm-hmm. But not as crazy or rich.
No. He's rich in this one, too.
Okay.
Typecast. But he plays it charming, but he's not as virtuous. Gotcha. And that's not giving anything away.
Fair enough.
So there you go. Watch that one if you haven't. I thought it was kind of neat.
All right. So we have finished the 2018 movie marathon for this week. And we're still kind of sipping on this beer. You want to wait a little bit on the other one?
Yeah, we'll talk
about it before the final segment.
Yeah, we'll mention it before we're done.
All right. So now we go into the second part of our feature segment. The recast continues.
Part two.
The sequel.
Redux.
Movie number two is from 1997, and it has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it is an adaptation of a George Steinbeck novella. I read this when I was a kid, and it was one of the few books that made me cry when I was a kid. It really hits you in the feelies, this book.
What made you cry about it?
The end.
The end?
Yeah.
I just like petting them.
So the movie, of course, we're talking about is Of Mice and Men, starring Gary Sinise as George Milton and John Malkovich as Lenny Small. Then the third role that we're going to recast in this film is the role of Curly's wife, portrayed by the adorable Sherilyn Fenn.
Excellent.
Sherilyn Fenn.
I was so hot for Sherilyn Fenn
around that time. Yeah, I mean, well, Twin Peaks, of course. She was, you know, a young seductress.
She was in Boxing Helena.
She's Helena in Boxing Helena. Although, you know, for a movie called Boxing Helena, there was very little fisticuffs.
Right. Very little, but she was hot.
All right, and so our premise here is it's during the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl. You've got migrant workers, you've got people who are out of work, traveling from town to town, farm to farm, looking for work. And in particular, this odd couple of gentlemen. One is named George and the other named Lenny. And they're kind of archetypal characters at this point. Steinbeck may not have invented this archetypal dynamic, but it was definitely mined for fiction for years and years to come. George and Lenny were the names of cartoon characters in the Looney Tunes. There was some early Looney Tunes where you've heard the "I don't know, George."
Mm-hmm.
That's directly from Of Mice and Men. But the two fellows come to a farm and they get work. One of them is very strong. The other one has a good head on their shoulders. And it's really about the struggle of one to protect the other one from his handicap, I guess.
Yeah, he's a simpleton.
Yes.
As George says, he got kicked in the head.
Mm-hmm. And so, folks, if you haven't read Of Mice and Men or seen the movie, do yourselves a favor and check that out. We're not gonna reveal anything about
that's
the rabbits.
The world's oldest spoiler.
Yeah.
A couple of things about the film.
Yes.
Are we gonna?
Oh, it's directed by Gary Sinise.
Yes.
Yeah. What else?
Well, I was gonna mention an interesting an interesting cast member.
Uh-huh.
And this is strictly thanks to Amazon Prime's X-ray feature. There's one of their coworkers. I kept looking at the guy. I'm like, I know that face from somewhere, mm-hmm. but I can't place the actor. And I happened to pause it to get up to grab a drink or whatever. And, you know, Amazon Prime does the X-ray and they show you who's in each scene at that particular time. And it said Alexis Arquette.
Ah.
And Alexis Arquette, in case anyone who doesn't know, is born Robert Arquette, transgendered member of the Arquette family,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately contracted HIV and died in 2015.
Oh, wow. Not that long ago.
2016.
I didn't realize
that. Even more recent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of brought a lot of attention to the challenges of a transgendered person.
Yeah. But, well, you say brought a lot of attention to. I had never even heard of this member of the Arquette family.
Yeah, she was outgoing and very much an activist.
Yeah.
The family kind of, as far as I could tell, embraced her transition. But it was interesting because I was like, I know that face.
Out of nowhere.
For anybody who's ever watched the film, it's the guy that has the very pointy nose in the group of workers.
Gotcha.
Kind of the almost a jokester in the group.
Very cool. Now, older or younger than David?
Born in 1969. I'm not sure when David was born.
And they're all fairly close together. You've got Rosanna,
she's
Patricia,
the oldest, I think.
David, and Alexis.
I'll give a quick look while you talk more about what we're going to recast.
All right, so we're recasting the role of George Milton. He was originally portrayed by Gary Sinise, who was 42 at the time. We're also going to recast the role of Lenny Small, of course. Kind of on the nose name of the character. It's kind of like Little John in Robin Hood,
mm-hmm.
naming the guy Lenny Small, even though he's a giant. Oh, interestingly enough, John Malkovich is only 3 inches taller than Gary Sinise in real life.
They definitely played that different.
Yeah, I think that they used some like trick photography and
some of that Peter Jackson Hobbit shit.
Yeah, yeah, because in the book he's supposed to tower over George, and in the movie he appears to. So yeah, Gary Sinise is 5'9" and John Malkovich is 6 foot even. All right. And then, like we said, Sherilyn Fenn is Curly's wife, who is...
Who's Curly? Let's talk about Curly for a second.
Okay, so Curly is the kind of the foreman.
He's got little dick syndrome.
Yeah, he does. He's a little Napoleon. And he also always wears a glove filled with Vaseline because his wife likes his hands to be soft. Did they cover that in the movie? I know they did in the book. And also, I think Burt Reynolds made reference to it in the movie Striptease.
He sure did.
So let's go ahead with the first role, the role of George. George Milton was portrayed by Gary Sinise, who was 42. And my actor is also 42. He's got a similar countenance, and he is 5'9", same height.
Oh, are we looking up heights too? And, damn, well, it.
On this one we are.
All right.
And he needs a new job, or he needs a job. I'm going with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Wow.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is going to be my George Milton. You would recognize him from a movie called Summer Catch, She's All That, and Scooby-Doo 1 and 2.
Wow. Okay.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is my George Milton. Jeez. Have you got some background on the...
I do.
The Arquette clan?
The Arquette clan.
I mean fam? The Arquette fam?
Fam. Yes, we know that we shouldn't say the... Anyway, Roseanne Arquette's the oldest. Patricia Arquette's next. Alexis Arquette comes after that.
And David's the baby?
David's the baby. He was born in 71.
What?
Yeah.
He's only 9 years older than me.
He's only 2 years older than
me. We could hang out.
All right. So, ironically, my recasts are also 3 inches apart in height.
Nice.
Purely by accident. For my pick for George, I am going with an actor who is known for being handsome. And we guess Sinise is kind of handsome-ish. I still don't know how he gets all these acting jobs with no legs.
You ain't got no legs, Gary Sinise. I just went Michael Caine on the end of it.
It was really funny. All right, so my guy, he has been in the TV version of Wet Hot American Summer. He has been in, I don't want to give anything away. It's all going to give it away, though. The TV series Super Mansion.
Superman
Mansion. But no, these are all going to give it away. He was in The Outlaw King. He was in Star Trek Beyond and all the other reboots.
Chris Pine. Nice. He's a little bit too pretty. A little bit too pretty for George.
I don't know. I thought Gary Sinise was
Sinise is a very handsome man.
I thought he was kind of pretty in this. Yeah.
All right.
Nothing wrong with pretty.
So George, like we said, is the level-headed one. He is looking out for Lenny, but he can only look out for him so far, right?
Correct.
All right. So Lenny, he's a bull. He's got the strength of two bulls. He's taller than the average man. He can work hard as hell, but he also he doesn't know his own strength, which is his fatal flaw. All right, so you were supposed to go first on these.
Just keep it going.
My Lenny Small is an actor who you would know from Flight of the Phoenix, House of Wax.
You're going to say Flight of the Conchords.
And also he played Sam Winchester on Supernatural. His name is Jared Padalecki.
Okay.
Jared Padalecki is 36 now, and he is 6'4".
Yes.
And You can tell that if he isn't trying to smile, he can kind of like pass off that kind of mongoloid.
That's a bad word.
It's the M word.
Don't say the M word.
M. Night Shyamalan. Oh, don't say it. Spoiler. And so, yeah, Jared Padalecki. He's 36. Okay. He's 6'4". He's on Supernatural, House of Wax.
I kind of feel that. Yeah,
Flight
yeah.
of the Conchords.
All right. So my guy was, he's 39. And he's described as tall and handsome.
Tall and handsome.
You will know
him. He shouldn't get to have two things.
Well, he got them. You will know him from a very small appearance in Arrested Development. He does a couple of voices on BoJack Horseman. He's been on Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you all the obscure ones first.
Yeah.
But he has proven that he can beef himself up and become quite big for his 6'3" frame, as seen in the most recent adaptation of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. It's Jim Halpern himself from The Office.
Jim Halpert's going to be your
Lenny? John Krasinski.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, he is tall as shit.
I think he can do this. Think yeah, about I mean, quiet. Think about Quiet Place, man. I
yeah,
think he can,
he's super talented.
Yeah,
He's
got a broad range.
He also got a Golden Globe nomination today, but not for A Quiet Place, for Jack Ryan.
Interesting.
Yeah, he should have gotten it for A Quiet Place. That was a great movie. All right, I think mine's better on this one.
I don't know. I can't say. I haven't seen this guy in anything.
You've never seen Supernatural?
No, because I'm not a 13-year-old girl.
All right. So are you sure?
Hi, Hannah.
Did she like the title of our Daryl Hannah episode?
You know, I haven't talked to her about it. I told her that her mom gave her big shout outs. And
also we titled it Hannah Banana.
I know. I don't, you know,
for scale.
Well, you know how teens are. They won't let you know feel the
Shut
feels.
You out.
Yeah.
All right. Last role, the role of Curly's wife. She's the seductress, even though, I mean, it's all fairly innocent. She's still...
Well, shit, there's nothing innocent about her.
She's very flirtatious.
Yes.
And very, very much a instigator in things that should not be going on. And she's pretty much the only...
She's the only woman in the story.
Flower in the garden.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so my Curly's wife... That's how she's credited. I don't know that they ever actually
really
called her by name. She's credited as Curly's wife.
You're right.
Yeah, Curly's wife. My actress was Caitlin Cooper on The OC. She was Agnes Andrews in Gossip Girl. And she plays Thea Queen and Speedy in Arrow. Her name is... Willa Holland.
I love Willa Holland.
Willa Holland is 27 now, and I think she can pull off this role.
That's a great
pick. She's got like a full-figured face, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I think that she's got curves to her and has like a voluptuous countenance.
She's great. I shopped her for this, actually, so I'm glad that you picked her. I went with someone who has been in... Oh, God. All right, folks, let's see if you can guess this one. She was in the TV miniseries Klondike and the TV
what
series.
What would you do?
What would you do for her? Hawaii Five-O, the most recent TV series, not the original.
It's called Hawaii Five-O because she's actually 50.
She was in Shots Fired. She's in the new TV series Titans that's coming up. She plays Wonder Girl.
Hmm.
But most people would know her from The Man in the High Castle. If you haven't watched that, give it a watch.
I have not watched it.
She plays Trudy. Her name is Connor Leslie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She would be great in this. She's right now, she's seducing me, and I'm going to get my hand tangled in her hair.
Jesus, man.
So this is our recast of the movie of Mice and Men, our hypothetical recast. And I think that either of these would be very viable lineups for any Hollywood casting director. Feel free to mine our podcast for your benefit.
And send us that money.
Yeah, we want that money.
Hey, crack open a beer.
All right, let's do it. We got one more beer to drink tonight, and it is a darkie. Darker beer.
What the hell?
Darker beer. So it's called The Key to the Bathroom. And it says, tell me what the name of the brewery is, because I can't understand it.
Oh, geez.
It's like quote, underscore, 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 underscore.
Oh, Blank Brewing.
Is it Blank?
I don't know what this is. This is Blank Brewing. That's the name of the brewery.
Blank Brewing. Okay.
It's in from Boston. Whatever.
Crack it open.
We'll give it a try. So while we're popping this open, we're going to do one of our theoretical
Battle Royale. That's nice.
All right, so Travisito, why don't you tell us who's in the Battle Royale tonight?
All right, we've got three contenders tonight. Of course, you know, your main man, John Malkovich, has to be in the mix. And, you know, just on the fact that he's kind of scary, he's got some clout in this match.
He's very intimidating.
Yes. Then we also have Malcolm McDowell. So you've got John Malkovich versus Malcolm McDowell. Of course, he was in A Clockwork Orange, beat up a lot of people in that movie. And then we've got, beyond that, you know, John Malkovich, Malcolm McDowell, and Malcolm Jamal Warner.
I like it.
From Happy Days. I mean, Well, it was a happier day before we knew what Phil Huxtable was actually up to. The Cosby Show. So we've got John Malkovich, Malcolm McDowell, and Andy McDowell.
Andy McDowell, it's Malcolm Jamal Warner.
And Andy McDowell. Fuck it, it's four people.
All right, wow. Okay, so who's your pick?
Now, I've been thinking about this a lot. John Malkovich, he's kind of scary, kind of intimidating. He, you know, he's versatile. He could like, cross you up. Then on the other hand, Malcolm McDowell, you know,
he's got the droogs.
Yes, he's been subjected to a lot of, you know,
torture.
His eyelids have been spread open. Malcolm Jamal Warner, he's got those dreads now.
Oh.
He could just like hit you with them like a cat of nine tails.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Andy McDowell.
She'll bore you to tears.
Yeah. She's not even in this. Fuck Andy McDowell. She loses. I'm going with Malcolm McDowell.
Okay.
Malcolm McDowell is going to bring that Clockwork Orange. It's gonna tick like clockwork, and he's just gonna take out the competition with a cane.
I'm gonna go with Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Okay.
Because when the referee's not looking, from the crowd.
Yes.
Comes Bill Cosby, and he roofies the opponent, and he passes out. He Cosbys them, and Malcolm Jamal Warner takes the victory.
That's rough.
I know. Well, you know, that's what she said.
And then everybody has Jell-O pudding pops.
I don't mean to make light of anyone who's been victimized by that man. My apologies.
Or anyone. We don't make light of victims here. This is all in good fun. Andy McDowell then jumps back in the ring.
No, she doesn't. The same way she didn't jump back into acting.
All right. So that will go ahead and wrap us up for tonight, right?
Yeah, I think we're done.
We had some fun. I did not bring my last page, but we need to thank you, co-host Sean, and co-producer, The Brew Boss. Is there anything that you want to plug?
Well, we got next week's episode, which is going to be the movies of Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about that.
Also, The Boy Wonder is coming back.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jacob Suggs
is going to be back. Yes. Suggs Knight.
He's a local filmmaker. He was on our Star Wars extravaganza episode. Listeners probably remember him from there. He has requested to come back, and we're glad to have him because he has way more Twitter followers than we do.
He knows how to work the social medias.
Indeed, those social meds. And then also, we want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcatcher or platform you're listening to us on. We appreciate that. We are on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We have a Twitter handle. It's @cinemachopshop on Twitter. And our email address, should you ever feel the need to send us an actual email, we are cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And then finally, the beers that we drank today on the show, we will check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. The only thing that I want to plug is that the world's going to end, and so you guys have to start recycling. Just recycle. Come on, recycle. That's the very, very least you can do.
Fine.
And I don't mean you in particular, Sean.
Well, you're looking right at me.
Yes. You're the only one in the room. And most of all, Chop Shoppers, please remember to
watch Chop Retrofit.
And tip the bartenders, and Hillary needs to be back on the show, and hi, Chelsea.